Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsors.
Do you wake up feeling like your best days have passed you by? Omega-3s are essential to the health of your body and cells. Scientists say an imbalance in the omega-3-6 ratio is a major cause of many illnesses. You need testing to know how healthy your cells are. Without testing, you're only guessing. Test yourself at home and start feeling better today. Find out how by calling Rick Kroll at 305-933-4219. Welcome to the Home Business Success Show. Join us as we speak to home business entrepreneurs for tips, tricks, do's, and even don'ts for running a successful home business. Greetings and welcome to the Home Business Success Show on Biz Radio US. I'm your host, Hank Eater, also known as Hank the PR Guy. Folks who run home businesses have some definite advantages over brick and mortar, but they also face unique challenges. Each week on the Home Business Success Show, we talk to home business entrepreneurs and find out about best practices, do's and don'ts, things that really work, and things that might be enormous drains of time and money. So that being said, I'd like to introduce my guest today, Michael Palermo. Mike was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. After 47 years in the city and almost 25 years as a business lawyer, he felt he needed a change. So he took a year off in 2014 to recharge, living in the remote mountains of Idaho. Now he's an Asheville business lawyer serving Buncombe County and the surrounding Western North Carolina area, including Hendersonville, Waynesville, Marion, Silva, and even as far as Franklin. Mike formed the Palermo Business Law Firm in 2006 so that he could be more flexible in the way he served his clients without the formalities involved in a traditional business law firm practice. Mike's commercial law transactional practice helps all sizes of businesses and high-growth startups with their legal work. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Thanks for having me, Hank.
Oh, you're welcome. Tell us a little bit more about what you do and specifically how what you do can help small businesses, particularly home business owners.
I am a business lawyer. I've worked in various aspects of business law since 1992 when I first got out of law school. I've represented billion-dollar global chemical companies. I've represented two-man plumbing shops. So I've got this gamut of experience. Not only with the size of the business, but just across various professions, occupations, different ways of practice, small law firm, big law firm. I worked for the government on two separate occasions, and I've been on myself for 2006, I think you said. That sounds accurate. How I can help small businesses is, even though I do have my regular lawyer's hourly rate, I'm a lot closer to the ground. I don't have really all that much overhead. I'm not worrying about paying for some fancy office somewhere. I'm not worried about making ends meet in a big office with all that overhead. So I can get a lot of things done. I can give you that billion-dollar global chemical company experience that I got paid to do for years, and I can give that to a small business.
That's excellent, because small businesses have very different needs, and home businesses, especially in the first few years of getting started, are usually a little bit, not restricted, but sometimes they're a little bit short on capital and they want to optimize what they can. But there's some areas where I like to encourage home business owners not to try to save in some areas, because you think you're saving, but it comes back to bite you on the butt later on in a big way. So what kind of legal needs would owners of small businesses have?
I like to tell people that businesses are just like a human being. They have a life cycle. Businesses are born, they grow, hopefully they grow well and healthy. And then at the end, there's an exit to the business. Every step of the way is something that I can help the business owner with. The main need for small business, really small business owners, is just getting set up properly, whether it's a corporation, a limited liability company, or even a sole proprietorship. There are things that just they need to be done. It's not something you can do yourself or download from the internet. They really need to be done setting up the business properly. And that way, the business owner personally can avoid all sorts of potential liabilities, not only with legal claims, contract claims, things like that, but also with the state and with the tax man. So one of the things I can do is very, really small businesses, one or two person businesses, I actually, depending on the type of business and what their needs are, I help set them up for a set fee. That way they know exactly what their fee is going to be so they can plan ahead and either save the money, or if they have the money, they're not worried about paying a potential $5,000 or $10,000 crazy legal bill, when in actuality, that particular process should only be a couple hundred dollars, especially for a small business.
Right. Well, you mentioned two-person businesses, and that to me sounds like people who are going into a potential partnership, and there are pitfalls that can be involved in partnership. So I would suppose if someone comes in for a two-person business and they come in and want to lay out how they're going to do these things, then part of what you might do for them is formalize their roles and how it would play out if one of them wanted to leave, those kind of things. Am I right about that?
Yes, absolutely. There's whether it's a corporation or a limited liability company, or even a partnership, which we don't really do that much anymore because limited liability companies are what we call statutory partnerships. There's a document called either the bylaws or the operating agreement that really sets out for the business who does what, who can't do what, and how the money is split. So when you have two people, you really need to discuss with that person who's going to do what work, who has what authority, who can go out and sign for a new pickup truck because the business needs a new pickup truck, who can spend that $20,000 versus who can't spend that $20,000. What I like to do at the beginning is get the two people thinking about that. I actually have a real simple questionnaire that asks all these questions. How much can your partner spend without having to get permission from you before you guys all wind up in a knockdown, drag-out argument? And then they talk about that before they even form the business. And a lot of times it's things they haven't even thought about. Like, gee, I never thought that my partner in a hot dog stand would go out and buy a Cadillac because he needed a car to get to and from work. Talk about it beforehand, and then we put it on paper into the bylaws or the operating agreement. They're just agreements between the owners of the business as to how the business will be run.
Right. So then if it's not done correctly up front, then there's a big headache when the owner of the hot dog stand partner buys that Cadillac to go to and from work and charges it to the business.
Headache is probably a euphemism. Usually there's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, people throwing things. It can turn into a lawsuit. What I like to tell people is divide the $1 million now before there's $1 million actually on the table, because as soon as there's $1 million on the table, the guy who laid on his couch doing nothing for the last 3 years thinks he earned the $1 million, and the other guy did nothing to earn the $1 million. So this is why we get the bylaws, the operating agreement really says who can do what and how the money's going to be split down the road once you guys are all millionaires.
Right. And hopefully they do get to be millionaires. A lot of companies don't survive the first 2 or 3 years. What's an interesting thing about home-based businesses is that I don't have the exact figure right in my head, but I remember reading about 3 or 4 months ago that probably close to 70% of home-based businesses are still open 3 or 4 years later, where a much larger number of brick and mortar businesses are not. And that's got to do, I think, with what you were saying earlier. You don't have to worry about that fancy glass office that's, 15 stories above the city, and the overhead that's involved in that, the overhead for a brick and mortar location, the overhead even to rent office space, commercial office space in a place that has a lot of traffic and has good parking, all of those kind of things. The home business doesn't have to do that. But that brings me to a question. I've dealt with this before on the show. A lot of people start limited liability corporations, LLCs, because they believe somehow in their minds that the limited liability part in the name means they're protected personally against litigation. However, if someone falls and is injured in a home business location, The owner is not shielded from lawsuits. Like, you know, you invite a client to your home and they trip on the stairs and have, you know, $50,000 worth of medical bills. You are not protected from that just because you have the name LLC. Would you touch on that just a little bit?
There's a common misperception that you just pointed to, and whether it's a home business or not, limited liability companies, they don't limit personal liability. And a lot of lawyers either don't know that, I hate to say it, or they just don't tell their clients that. But I'll give you an example. If a truck driver for Ingalls drives through a red light in the delivery truck and hurts somebody in an accident, that truck driver is still individually liable for hurting that person. And it's the same thing in a home business. If you're negligent, if someone trips on your carpeting that was tearing up, or if they trip coming up poorly maintained stairs, just because you're a business and you have that limited liability company moniker doesn't mean that the individual who should have maintained that stuff is not liable. Now, the reality is, and I tell people this until I turn blue in the face, nothing beats good insurance. So make sure you've got the insurance in place. The LLC for a one or two person business really doesn't limit the personal liability of the individual who may have performed the negligent act, but it does limit liability in other areas like contract liability and things like that.
I see. So then the answer in this case is insurance. And if you're going to be bringing clients as a home business owner, if you're going to be bringing clients into your home office, you really have to make pretty well sure that you've got the proper amount of liability insurance to take care of that.
Everything I do, and I used to put on seminars with a CPA and a commercial insurance broker, everything I do has an accounting tax aspect to it, including, for example, the choice of whether or not to be a corporation or a limited liability company. Those are both tax vehicles as well as liability protection vehicles. But there's also an insurable aspect to a lot of what I do. Talk to your insurance agent. Your homeowner's policy might not cover a home-based business. So again, nothing beats good insurance sometimes.
Sure, and sometimes just having a home business rider, I think it's called, on your insurance doesn't cost all that much, especially if you compare it to what you might be liable for if you have a mishap. I always avoid that by never inviting clients over to my home office.
Right.
You know, I either meet them in public places, I meet them in coffee shops. Occasionally, I've met them in co-working spaces when necessary. Yeah. But there's always some way to avoid having them come to your house. Well, now in this day and age, of course, with tech evolved the way it is, you could always meet clients over things like Zoom or Skype. You don't really need to be face-to-face. Some people prefer that.
I've done the Zoom meetings not only in the last couple of years, but I think I did one last Tuesday just because it was quicker, cheaper, and easier for everyone to hop on a video meeting than for all of us to spend 45 minutes trying to figure out when and where we can meet. I do the same thing. I'll meet people. So back when I was in Chicago and working with a lot bigger clients, I would just go to my client's location because I'm kind of a nerd. I like seeing how people make money. And I had a lot of construction clients, a lot of builders. So I got to go out and look at and play with all the heavy equipment. In the meantime, I'm, you know, billing them and talking about their liability. So I found that either coffee shops are going to my clients' locations. And the clients appreciate that because they don't have to take all the time to, you know, leave their office, pack up the car, drive somewhere, look for directions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. Many home business entrepreneurs outsource services. Do you help set up contracts for outsourcing contracts? Well, for outsourcing services, do you offer contracts of those of that nature?
I haven't really, just because really home-based businesses tend to be pretty small, and you know, there's certain legal services they need, and there's services that, frankly, I just wouldn't do for them because it's not worth them to pay, you know, something like $2,000 to have a contract drafted so they could buy something for $800. There's always a cost benefit that needs to be done with the home-based businesses just by virtue of the fact that they're not really big, generally speaking, they're not big revenue generating businesses. And if it's a question of just a vendor's contract, most vendors either have a contract, or if they're doing something like, you know, hiring someone to fix a computer, most of the times there's not even a contract. There's just a, you know, exchange a few emails, set an appointment and pay the guy.
Right. Yeah. So it depends on each relationship with the vendors that you're going to outsource things to.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, your CPA will tell you certain things that you need to do. Like if you are a sole proprietorship and you have a long-term relationship with a company that's relating, you know, in the terms of tens of thousands every year, you need to have certain forms filled out and sent in to Uncle Sam. The business needs to give you, what is it, a W-9?
W-9.
Then they have to send you a 1099 and all that kind of good stuff. But your CPA should be able to tell you about that. And that's one area that I always urge home business entrepreneurs not to skimp on. Don't skimp on tax accountants, because you think you know what you need to know. Next thing you know, you're in hot water with Uncle Sam, or a good CPA maybe can get you a few thousand dollars in refunds from Uncle Sam, but you yourself thought you owed money.
It's cheaper to do it right in the first place than to fix it later. And the CPAs I've worked with, and myself personally, a lot of problems can just be solved with a phone call, and I don't even invoice people for that. If it's a 5 or 10 minute phone call and it's something that's just so obvious to me that I can answer it off the top of my head. So now if you start talking though about if somebody's working as an independent contractor versus an employee for another business, now we start getting into areas where maybe we do need to draft up at least something a little more formal than just a couple of emails that got traded. At the very basic, just clarify whether or not the person's an employee or an independent contractor, and how the taxes and the payments will be held, that sort of thing. And again, sometimes it doesn't have to be expensive, but it does have to be done. So you sort of have to bite the bullet and pay somebody a little bit of something at some point.
Right. And by doing it right, by having it done and doing it right, you know, if some kind of attorney involvement in setting up your corporation or setting up your LLC, and I'm just making up a figure, let's say it costs you $1,000, and you think, I can do that myself. But if you don't, it could end up costing you a whole lot more than $1,000 to fix it.
Yeah. The internet has been sort of a boom and a bane for my practice, because it's the old adage, people don't know what they don't know. And I think there was a coffee mug that circulated a while back that said, don't mistake your 20-second internet search for my 30 years of experience. It could be something as simple as a contract that says the party shall do something versus the party shall not do something. And a layman who's worried about building, putting in windows isn't going to catch that in a contract, because they're not used to reading these types of contracts or knowing what to look for. So there's a lot to be said for let's do it, let's get it right, and then you don't have to worry about it. It's done. It's done right.
That's right. Well, yeah, and it's the expertise that you're really paying for, not the fact that you think maybe this shouldn't take more than an hour or something like that. You don't know how long it's going to take. The right. professional knows how long it's going to take.
Right.
And it's not only the hour that you're paying the professional for, but you're paying the professional for all the experience that led up to be able to pack as much value into that hour as they do.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. And for some of the companies that really have a hard time coming up with things like that in the beginning, you know, they throw caution to the wind. But when you get something off of the internet, for example, a simple contract, and you think this is going to help you, but contract law can be different state to state.
Right.
And if you get a contract from another state and think you're covered, you're really not.
My favorite example is non-compete agreements. They sound kind of cool. They sound like you're doing something sophisticated. Most courts won't enforce most non-compete agreements. And I tell clients, you're wasting your time with them. And that's another great example where state by state, the courts enforce them differently. So I think it's California maybe where they don't even enforce non-compete agreements. They're just, you don't even do them. They're not worth doing because the courts won't enforce them. Other states like North Carolina are going to trend towards enforcing them unless something is really unconscionable. But what's unconscionable? It's hard to say. So that's the sort of thing where, you know, you sort of, people sort of feel like they're doing something because they got online and it sounded cool, but really they're adding headaches down the road that they sort of don't know that they didn't need to add to their already full plate of things to do for their own business.
Right. And that goes back to why home business entrepreneurs should outsource, because they need to focus on what they love and what they do best.
Right.
And the things that they don't know and they don't necessarily love, they're not going to do it right. But more important than that, it's going to take them away from their doing their business, doing what they really know how to do. Well, you know, we're getting really short on time. I'm always amazed by how fast these things fly by.
Right.
Michael, when people want to reach you to set up their businesses, or if they have some kind of a business issue that they want to talk to you about, what's the best way to find you?
Email. So my last name is Palermo, like the city in Sicily. And my website is palermolaw.com. You can email me. It's palermo@palermolaw.com. Or you can go to the website, and I should have a contact me form on that website. Don't do it this weekend, though, because I'm moving my website from one provider to another, and things aren't going to be working all that well over the weekend if I'm doing it.
All right. Yeah, that's one of those things that maybe some people outsource. Well, first, I want to thank you for being here, and I want to tell our listeners, tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. for the Home Business Success Show here on Biz Radio US. Before I go, I'd like to tell you all that there are some great resources available to home business entrepreneurs, including the Home Business Success Community, an online membership support community of like-minded home business entrepreneurs. Contact me for more information. Just go to bizradio.us, click on Shows, and then click on the Home Business Success Show for contact information.
Remember, mine is there. You can link to my website from there, too.
There you go. Yeah. Michael is there. Remember, you can achieve success, freedom, and independence in your own home business. I've done it. Michael has done it. And you can, too. I'll see you all next week. This is Hank Eater wishing all of you a fabulous day of home business success.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.